Is up, guys. Another week back on the podcast. Sorry if the sound sounds a little weird again. Mic still not working 100%, but I finally figured out what was wrong with it, so that should be up and running in no time. Number two, why it may sound weird, is that I am currently sitting in my car. You know, college lifestyle, we make do with what we have. I hope everyone's week has been great. I know mine has so far. It's only Tuesday, but you know, like we say, this is the day the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Little weekly recap for you. Last weekend, I went with some friends on a little weekend getaway, and we went to the lake, and it was super restful and awesome, and I'm constantly reminded of how not good I am and how good God is, and that anything in my life that is remotely good is because of God and because I serve a gracious Father, because I don't deserve any of it. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Everything that is good is because he I serve is good. So I've been around a lot of really wise people recently in the past few weeks, and that's just been a huge blessing. One thing that I think is really cool is just to see how God speaks to people in different ways, and other people are able to see different characteristics of God. I'm not really into chemistry, not a big math person, but my friends that are, they see characteristics of God in math, or they see characteristics of God in biology, in chemistry, while I see characteristics of God through how I communicate with others and things of that nature. And I just think it shows the intentionality and how diverse that the God we serve is. Okay, so I was talking with one of my friends, and we were talking about how God created the world with age. And we see this because there are stars that are 14 billion years old. Now, sorry to all my chemistry and biology brains that are listening right now, because my communication brain is really going to butcher this, but I found it really fascinating, so I'm giving it my best shot here. A lot of atheists will argue that there is no God because the Earth isn't 14 billion years old. The world isn't 14 billion years old, because if it was, we know that it takes time for light to travel, and the Earth is only about 4.5 billion years old. So atheists say there's no reason that we should be able to see that star, since the Earth is only 4.5 billion years old. For us Christians out there, that proves to us that the world was created with age, that the universe was created age. Adam and Eve were put on Earth fully male and fully female, created in the image of God. God didn't put them on Earth as infants or babies. All this being said, that part of the fall of mankind is us having to grow up. And part of growing up is us having to fail and go to failure and understand that through that failure, drawing near to the Father. Now, because we have a gracious Father, there are some really sweet parts about growing up. There's some sweet memories of watching a child walk for the first time, or a child say their first word. Now, in growing up, there are those sweet moments, but there's also things that do take time. I mean, it takes time to learn how to walk. It takes time and practice to learn to say your first word, or it takes time to learn to ride your bike. Just like it takes time to learn that when you fail, what it looks like to rely on the Father, what it looks like to get up off the ground and try again. Now, all this talk of fall of mankind had me reading Genesis, and we know that in the story in Adam and Eve, the serpent told Eve that God didn't want them eating the forbidden fruit from the forbidden tree, because God wanted to keep her eyes from being completely opened. Genesis 3:5 says, for God knows that when you eat of it with your eyes, you will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. That is what the serpent said, telling her that she surely wouldn't die. And today, Satan's ways have not changed. He is constantly throwing stuff in our face that's saying, oh, like, the Bible tells and goes against this, but if you do this, you'll actually have freedom. God's not giving you this freedom. Do this, and this is what freedom feels like. Do this so you're in control and you know what better is. But let me tell you this, God's better is always greater than the world's better. We were talking about this in Bible study, about how going clubbing and going partying and drinking and all this, one might call that fun, but there is a better, and that's God's better. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." You don't know the plans God has for you. All you see is the now. What we often forget is that our plans now, our decisions that we make now, are going to have effect for the future, and all we can see is the present. Now, are you going to stumble and fail at times and maybe make the wrong decision for yourself? Yes, and God will direct you in the right path, but that's why it's important now to make thoughtful decisions. Satan's always trying to get a reaction out of you. Quick reactions. Act on emotion. Proverbs 16:32 tells us, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." We are called to be thoughtful about our decision making. We are to discern the spirit in us and not our own feelings and emotions. Now back to the fall of mankind and growing up. Due to our sin, we're going to fail. Bummer, right? I know that's a huge bummer for me because I am a huge people pleaser and I just want everyone to be happy all the time. And I always want to know I made the right decision, but that's just not in my human flesh. I'm not fleshly designed to make all the good, perfect, and right decisions. In fact, flesh goes against God, does everything that God doesn't do. But because I have salvation in Christ, my flesh is dead. I now walk in a new body, new spirit, and new mind because I have submitted to Christ. Whether you're Christian or not, we all have this God-shaped hole that's in our hearts that, if you have accepted Christ or not, allows you and makes you feel guilty. The better is that when you're following Scripture and walking in God's light, you no longer have to feel the guilt when you carry the weight of the world, because you have the Spirit inside of you helping you discern between right or wrong. The better in Christ is that I can live in this world with enjoyment without guilt, because in everything that I do, I am doing it for the mission and purpose of Christ. It is good to be present in whatever stage of life you are in right now, and we are called not to worry, but it's also important to know, like I said earlier, the decisions you make now will affect you in the future. I mean, sure, if someone asked me if I want to go party or go hang out with a couple friends, in the moment, partying might sound more fun. But what's fun isn't always better. In the long term, having those fruitful relationships with friends that grow me closer to the Father is going to be a lot better than going out and partying, even if that sets me apart from the world. But as Christians, isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be looking, acting, and being seen as set apart from the world. Because indulgence, indulging in this world only breeds fog. But virtue, even the slightest bit of virtue, is going to bring light. You take any principle in the Bible and truly discipline yourself to it and truly apply it to your life will be changed and you will see the light. Even the slightest. But indulging in the world and giving into the world and giving into your fleshly desires and temptation will only lead you more confused and more foggy, because Satan is the deceiver. Satan is constantly breeding confusion into your life. But our God and the God that we serve is a God of peace and hope and joy and love. And those are all things that I want in my life, and I hope people can see through me too. Right now you may be feeling kind of like, oh man, I got a lot to work to do, or oh, this just seems like I'm gonna have to do this all by myself. But here's something that I've really been holding on to recently, because I too used to feel like that, like, oh, if I'm always gonna be a failure, then what am I to do? But it's not about relying in your own strength, it's about relying in God's strength. This is a quote by C.S. Lewis. This is in the chapter about sexual immorality, so that just a little context. But this is what it says. I think it can be applied anywhere in your life. "We may indeed be sure that perfect chastity, like human efforts, charity, will not be attained by any merely human efforts. We must ask for God's help. Even when you have done so, it may seem to you for a long time that no help or less help than you need is being given. Never mind. After each failure, ask forgiveness, pick yourself up, and try again. Very often, God first helps us towards is not the virtue itself, but the power of always trying again. For however important chastity or courage or truthfulness or any other virtue may be, this process trains us in habits of the soul, which are more important still. It cures our illusions about ourselves and teaches us to depend on God. We learn on the one hand that we cannot trust ourselves even on our best moments, and on the other that we need not despair even on our worst, for our failures are forgiven. The only fatal thing is to sit down content with anything less than perfection. Here are some final words that I hope are encouraging to you. Your failure is already forgiven. God knew you were going to fail before you even put on this earth, and it's forgiven. So get up and try again. And here's one thing to know, especially when you are truly seeking God, you're going to begin to realize just how much of a sinner you are. The closer I get to God, the more I realize how imperfect I am. And that's the process of sanctification. And sanctification means to be set apart for a special and specific purpose. And that's what we're looking towards. That's what you're working towards. So when you are walking in the right, and you're like, man, I just feel so much less about myself. But the fact is that you serve a God and have a God literally inside you so much greater. And here's the thing. Even after Adam and Eve sinned against God, he still provided and cared for them. And imagine just how heartbreaking that was for God. Like, the people he created put on this earth turned against him. Adam and Eve's sin brought upon God's eternal judgment, but God put sacrifices into place as a pardon for that sin. God created the sacrifices so that he could have a relationship with them, not Adam and Eve, which I never realized and actually found really interesting. God killed an animal and made garments for the man and woman who, in their nakedness, were brought to shame. That is said in Genesis 3:21. And just a side note, that part's also cool because it gives revelation in Revelation 13:8, talking about the lamb that was slain. So that is actually prophesizing Jesus, who would later come and be crucified on the cross. So that is really cool. When Adam and Eve were shameful, he clothed them. And the Lord can take away your shame. He's done that for me, and he can do that for you. His arms are always opened, and he wants a relationship with you no matter the failure. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Romans 3:23. Satan says, you have disappointed God too much. Give up. God says, I knew everything you would do before you were born and still called you. I'm not finished with you and will not abandon you. I wrote this in my notes app a while back, and it says this, and I honestly don't remember this happening, but this is what I said. God said to me, I'm gonna take care of you. Look around, I've never stopped taking care of you, and I'm not going to now. It's hard now, but I see a future and you don't. I am preparing you and ripening you for a life so much better than you can ever imagine. All right, guys, that is all I have, but my challenge this week is, set a reminder for yourself that you are forgiven, whether that's setting an alarm on your phone or having a notification go off or simply just writing it down every time that you start to feel like you're not good enough, that you can't be in the presence of the Lord. His arms are always open. Like, one thing that I do if I'm really dealing with some shame and sin is just, like, honestly writing out on a sticky note or whatever, I am forgiven, because that's the reminder, and it's the enemy that's telling you you're not God. All right, you guys, I hope everyone has a great week. Stay prayed up, and don't forget to live changed.